No more from the
top. It's all right, brother.
Anyway, I will pray to set get it up. Them words are just too special not to be. Facing heartache and trouble, when I look and realize my sin, I know the only way I can free my soul, well, Lord, is to talk to you. Here I am, Lord. Once again I'm calling on your name. Here I am,
Lord.
Here I am, Lord. I need your touch again today. Sometimes I just need to let you know how thankful I am that you came. It makes me understand just how small I am, and I exist just through your holy name. Here I am, Lord. Once again I'm calling on your name. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. And I need your touch again. Here I am, Lord, I need your touch again.
I'm glad God knows where I am. Amen. I'm glad He knows what I need. I'm glad He knows when I need it. Amen. I get a little impatient sometimes. The Lord tries to teach me to wait on the Lord, be of good courage. I struggle with that a little bit. But I'm glad, praise God, He knows when I need what I need. Amen. Appreciate Brother Richard there blessing us with those songs. Appreciate you being here today. I want to say a couple things before I preach. I shared some a little bit this morning about the van, and I'm excited about it, and please make that an earnest matter of prayer. Let me say also, I'm not going to be able to be here next Sunday night, and I would be here if I could. But Bethel Baptist Church in Glasgow, Kentucky, they're having an ordination service for me. They're going to ordain me, and I need to be there. And if y'all want to have church here, I want you to understand that I'll honor that and respect that, and I'll get someone here somewhere or another. We'll get someone here so we can have church. You just let me know. If you want to have service next Sunday night, we'll come up with some kind of arrangement. We'll get someone locally. I'll have someone come. Just we'll work something out. But I cannot be here next Sunday night. They're going to ordain me at Bethel Baptist Church along with four other preachers. And I've been longing to get this done for a long time. I'm not actually so procrastinating in this. It's just not been where we could get it done. And my pastor finally felt like it's necessary. I told him I felt like that it was needful. I need to be ordained. They're going to have ordination service for me next Sunday night. If you want to come down there, you're more welcome to come. They're going to have a meal afterwards. The service will start at 5. I've been to many ordination services. Never bothered me because I wasn't the one being ordained. But I'm pretty concerned about this one. They start asking you questions, and you need to know the answers. And I'll be honest with you, buddy. I've been to some of them. Sometimes them questions aren't as easy as you might think. I remember one time a preacher asked a young preacher a question, and he couldn't answer the question. One of the elder preachers told the man that asked him the question, he said, according to the ordination service, you're supposed to answer the question. If he can't answer it, that man couldn't answer it neither. But I kind of hope they take it easy on me. But,
Folks,
does anybody want to? Thank you, Brother Melvin. Anybody want to have service next Sunday night? You raise your hand one way or another. We'll get somebody here. And if not, you take that opportunity to go somewhere else and visit. And I don't have no problem visiting nowhere. I'll be honest with you. I serve the same God no matter where I'm at. I've been to churches, and I'll tell you what, I was an embarrassment to them, but I wasn't an embarrassment to Him. I shouted and praised God right in the midst of the deadest church ever has been. Now, I mean, but I turned even the preacher's head. They said, who in the world is he? And who brought him? My neighbor that invited me, stood all the way down to the pew and acted like he didn't even know me. At that time, my wife greatly encouraged me. She said, don't pay no attention to them. The Lord loves you. And I didn't know how to act in church, but I'll tell you right now, I'm not ashamed of him. And praise God, he's not ashamed of me. But if you want to go visit somewhere next Sunday night, that'd certainly be in order. I'll tell you right now, a lot of churches, they need encouragement. Everyone, even the church is struggling, and that'd be an encouragement. Just show up over there and shout all over the place. Bring a little life with you. Amen. Another thing, the December the 21st, I will be here that Wednesday night. I've already scheduled a day vacation, and I will be here that Wednesday night. We're going to try to have a Christmas-type service. I think it would be an excellent time, if y'all want to go out and maybe sing some Christmas carols. Just be thinking about that. I will be here December the 21st. We will have a service December the 25th that morning. You don't have to come. I'm not obligating you. But several have said they have expressed interest in having a service Christmas morning. And we will. And I'll tell you what my recommendation is that we... You know, if you can't come, want to come, come. If it's something you got family down, you can't come, that's understandable. We certainly wouldn't crucify you over that. But if you want to come, we're going to have service Christmas morning. We're not going to have a service Christmas night. We're going to have service Christmas morning. I brought some new papers. They're back in the back, newspapers. The good newspaper back there. There's some CDs back there that Brother Anthony made of some of the services that we've had here. And I do praise God for this little recorder. It's another way that you can put your branches out a little bit further. Now, I'm very satisfied with what I've seen since I've been here. I've been here next year will be 2 years. And I'm very satisfied with what I've seen. But I believe we need to constantly be trying to abound. Paul said he knew how to abound and he knew how to obey. Sometimes you're just holding ground and other times you're trying to take in new ground or more ground or trying to go a little further, do a little more. And I do believe this is an opportunity. Brother Anthony shared a lot of these CDs with some of them truck drivers. You don't never know what the end of that will be. But anyway, for thought, next Sunday night I will not be here. If you can think of anyone to tell them, there will be no service here next Sunday night. That'll be a blessing because we've had people in times past to show up, and I don't like when people show up and we're not here, but that's what it's going to be next Sunday night. Can someone get word to Emmeline and Brother Alvis and maybe Brother Billy and Sharon that they want to come, and maybe there may be others. We can't help that. There's nothing I can do. And if y'all want to come down there, you check with me. I'll tell you how to get there. It's not hard to find. And I guess that's all the announcements I need to make. But I'm excited about this van ministry. I believe God's in this. I believe it's going to be a blessing. Get your Bible out. Open it up to Acts chapter number 9. I promise you I'm going to be long today, but I promise you also God's really stirred my heart. I believe it'll be good. And I'll make no excuses for the fact that we'll probably be a little long today, but I'll be as quick as I can. I promise you that. But in Acts chapter 9, we're going to read two verses there. Then we're going to go to Galatians chapter 1. If you want to be opening up there, we're going to read about 9 verses in Galatians. Both of them say the same thing. You just say it in a little more detail. But in Acts chapter number 9, Paul here, it says in verse 20, in verse 21, and it says, Paul, whose really his name is Saul, you see that in Acts 9, verse 1, his name's Saul, but here in verse 20, it says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is this not he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Now turn please to Galatians chapter 1. We want to read a few more verses. All these do is just expound upon the two verses we just read. And here in Galatians chapter 1 verse 15, we can read on up there. But we'll start in verse 15 for sake of time. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen, He said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with them 15 days. And he said, but other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. I want to preach today on a turning point in life. Father, I love you this morning. I praise you. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you allow each and all to have a turning point in their life. And Lord, I stand amazed at your grace, at your mercy. I stand amazed, Lord, at how patiently you wait upon us to come, Lord, in the will of God, and to come, Lord, dear God, to you, Lord, dear God, and confess our great need of you. Bless this service today. Bless, Lord, those that are here by way of this recording. I pray, Father, you bless also those that were not able to be here this morning. Some of them, Lord, are sick. Some of them, Lord, may be working, may have obligations. I don't know, but well, Lord, we miss them. And we pray that this blessing that you bestow upon this service today could be also bestowed upon them that are not here. And those, Lord, dear God, that we would like to come, we pray that this message could be used to draw them into the service and presence of God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Paul, when he gets that turning point in his life, in Philippians chapter 3, he mentioned a long list of accomplishments in life. Paul was a very accomplished man. I mean, he was not your average man of God. He was a very accomplished man. And all the things that he had accomplished, I'll just mention a few. And he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, he said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, Paul said, I more. He said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I'm going somewhere. It just took me a little while to get started. This week, on a Tuesday night, at 2:30 in the morning, while I'm out there popping pills in that crazy Mylar at a PVC instead of pipe, we've got this flat stuff, and it makes these little blisters. You put these pills in there, and I'm out there as busy as a cat in a litter box, Melissa. I'm going as hard as I can go, trying to put these pills in these little holes. God brought something to my remembrance, and I was pretty much amazed, for one thing, that I hadn't remembered it already, Brother Daniel. I was surprised that it hadn't registered already upon me. But I thank God so much that He brought this to my remembrance, because I so needed it even now today in my life. My father, he had a brother named Benny Wade. I told y'all he was a deacon up there in the church in Louisville. But 40-some years ago, he wasn't in church. 40-some years ago, he wasn't a deacon. 40-some years ago, he's as rough as I was before I got saved. And I remembered, God allowed me to remember this. I thank Him for it. Y'all relate to this here in a minute. But I remembered it was on a Sunday morning. It was early in the morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning. And me and my father, as always, went fishing on Sunday. And this time we were going to take Benny with us. And we drove out there to his house out there on the South Fork Road. And there sat Benny on the front porch waiting for us to get there. And we loaded him up. And we headed over there to Mammoth Cave Park. And there's a place over there, some of you might know where I'm talking about. But there's a place over there, it's called the Turnholes. Anybody know about that? Right in Green River. It's a place they pulled a ferry in there, William, and it's so big they were able to turn the ferry around and head another way at Green River. And we actually parked the car, walked over the hill, down the bluff, and walked down to this place called the Turnhole. Me and my father set our rod and reels on one side, and my uncle, Dad's brother, Benny, he walked all the way around the Turnhole to the other side, and when he got to the other side, Brother Andy, I could have thrown a rock and hit him. I mean, we're not that far apart. We're about as close as from here to the bathroom, I guess. But it's huge other than the opening. And anyway, Benny's over there. And Donnie, he's setting his poles up over there. I mean, he throws them out there, them big chub manners. We've done one out, trained us some chub manners, and we're fishing for musky walleye, something like that. Anyway, he throwed his rod and reels out there, and he got them all set up there. And Lord, he lit him up a big cigar. I could see him. I mean, he had a cigar that long. He lit that thing up. He had an old black hat, damn it. It wasn't fit to away, but you know how fishermen are. They got something, they call it sacred. And he had that old black hat on his head. Had them poles set up. He laid down that creek bank, put his arm behind his head about like this. Tilted that hat down. All you could see is that cigar sticking out underneath that hat. And here it was, a beautiful day, and the Lord, He didn't give us a bolt of lightning. He didn't throw us in the hottest place in hell. For some reason, the love of God prevailed, and He allowed us to do this unthinkable act. And here we are, all we're right there, instead of being in the house of God. Like John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We was on the creek bank on the Lord's day. The wind's not blowing, Sister Molly. It's a beautiful day. It's a perfect day. I mean, as far as fishing goes, and I am a fisherman, I have caught an ocean full of fish. I mean, I'm not a novice when it comes to fishing. That's one thing that I can do well, Brother Howard. I can fish right alongside Bill Banks, and I'll promise you this, he will not have an advantage. Other than the fact he's rich and I'm not. But I can fish right alongside him, Sister Melissa. And here we are enjoying this beautiful day. Right in the middle of all this, Sister Gayla, I heard a pop. And way up on the bluff, way up down, I mean so far off you thought no need for danger, a huge tree broke. It's way up on the bluff, Brother Howard. Who would have thought that that tree could somehow walk down that bluff, come to where my Uncle Benny was, and just like swatting a fly with a fly swatter, that tree whooped on him more than once. I mean, it just whooped on him. I'm sitting there looking at him saying, I can't believe what I'm seeing. This tree just kept pounding my uncle in the ground. And the thought was kind of funny and scary at the same time. I mean, I wanted to laugh and I wanted to scream. I didn't know what. And when everything died down in the stillness of that moment, I looked over at Daddy. I said, Daddy, is he alive? Is he dead? I mean, I'm probably, Well, I'm 47. It's 40 years ago. I was probably 8 years old, something like that, because I'll be 8 in February. Anyway, I looked over at Teddy, and we were both speechless. I mean, we had horror and everything on our face. Benny came out underneath that tree, took that broke cigar out of his mouth, threw it on the ground, picked up what was left of that head, put it on his head, took what was left of them rotten reels, and reeled them up, and walked all the way around that. All the way around that turn hole. I'm glad they call it the turn hole. But he walked all the way around that turn hole, walked up to my father and me, and he said, I'm ready to go if y'all are. Well, we didn't know what to say. We were our clothes in. We left that day like a whipped dog. And we went home, and Sister Gayla, God brought this to my remembrance, and I forgot completely about it. But the next time I saw my Uncle Benny, he had a Bible in his hand. Amen. He was in my living room on his knees, pleading with my father to get saved. Now I tell you what, God got to working in my family. Everybody ought to have someone in this had a turning point in their lives. Everyone ought to have someone in their family that God got a hold of them and got a through to them. And I'm telling you, I saw God working in my family after that day.
Amen.
I remember my Uncle Benny, he bought my daddy a real expensive Bible. And he brought it to my daddy. Boy, he pleaded with my daddy. I saw the tears running down his cheeks. I saw my daddy, boy, he was so scared when his brother showed up. I mean, he drove all the way down from the Louisville. After he moved to Louisville, he drives down from Louisville every weekend for one purpose. Help, because he had a burden for his brother, my father. And I tell you what, I sat there in the living room, I was about as scared as Daddy was, but Benny never focused on me. He focused on my dad. My dad, hard-hearted, hard-headed, calloused in his heart. And I saw Benny brought up, I brought you a Bible. He take it, he throw it, I don't want no Bible. And I'll tell you what, boy, God was working in Benny's life. He couldn't quit if he wanted to. He had a turning point, and it changed him. And I'll tell you what, I saw God working in my family because of that turning point. Oh, me, my pastor, at the age of 25 years old, got saved at the age of 10 years old. Listen up real good. This is real life this morning. Got saved when he's 10 years old, Daniel. He's not in church. I mean, you know how that is. You miss one time, the devil make sure you miss twice. Then three times, and then you're out. Hello!
Amen.
Oh, I know where I'm coming from. I may not be saved all along, but I've seen it.
Yeah.
Anyway, they had a mother-in-law. Her name's Lou Pettigold, Mandy. She's real frail right now, but I'll tell you what, boy, she's 10 foot tall when it comes to Jesus.
Amen.
She had a turning point, Sister Wanda. And they wouldn't let her let go. And she come over to their daughter, which is Rick's wife, Sister Max, Helen Prophet. And she said, I want y'all to come to church next Sunday. And you know how that works, you know. Well, we'll be there next Sunday, don't worry. Then next Sunday comes around, and all of a sudden you're not there. And she comes and said, I thought you was coming next Sunday. I like these kind of Christians, Brother Hyde, that are persistent. You know, you invite someone to come, and they don't come. You go over there and knock on the door and say, I thought you said you was coming. Well, she was like that, Sister Lou was. She said, I thought you said you was coming. And Sister Max made a mistake of saying we ain't got nothing to wear. Well, maybe just come on in the house, went upstairs to the bedroom, come down with all kind of clothes, and what's wrong with me? He said, I got some mail I wanted to throw out of my house. That's my mother-in-law. But I want you to know when you have a turning point in your life, you'll find out you'll do things like that. And oh, he's mad. Oh, my pastor. At that time, he wasn't a pastor. That time he was AWOL on God. Richard, he was out of the will of God, out of the house of God, out completely. But anyway, all of this man, oh, bit lip, I mean bit nails off, Anthony. They went to church down at Brotherhood Free Will Baptist Church in Glasgow, Kentucky. He was somewhere he didn't want to be. And I'll tell you what, right in the midst of all of that, he's sitting there holding his oldest son, Scott Prophet, which is just an infant at that time, and right now he's bigger than me and Rick put together. I've never seen such a man in my life. But Rick's holding that little boy in his arms, and I tell you what, for lack of better words, he's mad. But I'll tell you what, God spoke to him that day as he looked down in the face of that little infant in his life, and God said, I got a million little boys like that that need to have someone preach to them and tell them the gospel, amen. And Rick's heart was tied up, and he ran to that altar and rededicated his life. And I want you to know, he had a turning point, amen.
Amen.
He's been standing for God ever since that moment. But He's one in a million that are out right now that have potential. Someone that God has saved. Someone that God has put His mark upon their life. They have a testimony. They have a tell their call of God on their life. They need to be in the house of God today. Oh, I thank God for turning points. I look at my old life. Boy, you talking about an outcast. I look at my old life. One that, for lack of better words, but you know, just an unlikely candidate to get saved. I remember the day I got baptized at Brotherhood Free Will Baptist Church. I was right behind the woman I made fun of getting saved. That's kind of a little humor God had with me. I made fun of her getting saved to her husband. Made fun of getting saved. Made fun of church. Made fun of God. Cursed God. Dared God to do anything concerning me. And He put up with all of that. And was all said and done, I got saved. And I still stand amazed at grace. But I got saved. And as God would have it, I'm standing behind the woman that I made fun of. But the day they baptized me, there was a man come up, Mark Bunch. He worked me, Brother Mel. He knew me more than those church people did. He came up to me and he said, I refuse to believe that God could save someone like you. I want to hear your testimony. I told him how God saved me, but he just embraced me. And he said, you're my brother. And oh, praise God. I'm glad God don't call. For that turning point in my life, I remember, boy, I'm telling you, I was in sin. I was in the field. I wouldn't fit for Baptist name. I wouldn't fit for preaching the Word of God. But oh, he kept reaching out. That day, I made fun of that man's wife, which is my cousin, Sandra Ford. She's been here before. Y'all seen me mention her about her being here before. I made fun of her to her husband that night. I bragged about how I was going to go fishing the next day. My family's going to go to the house of God. That Sunday morning rolled around, and sure enough, I was getting ready to go fishing. And I was going to go fishing. And my children come in there in my bedroom. I remember distinctly my little 8-year-old boy come in there, buddy. And I'll tell you what, these children here this morning, boy, we're blessed with them, but oh, how much power they got. The Bible said a little child will lead them. I'm telling you, they got power, amen. Oh, I could have stood up against any preacher and spit in his face, Brother Melvin. I done told my wife she'd waste her time. I wasn't ever going to church. I'll tell you right now, when that little 8-year-old boy comes through that bedroom door, here I am getting dressed to go fishing, Melissa, and his little lip are quivering, and the tears running off his cheeks like a leaky faucet, and he said, Daddy, will you please go to church with me today? Well, like a better word, I saw the real Eddie Wade. That was a turning point in my life, Sister Carolyn. I didn't want to go, but I couldn't really know. I've never been hit so hard in all my life, Brother Howard. And I'll tell you what, buddy, I fell down to my knees. I choked on the word, Sister Molly. I don't know how the word even got out. But I said, of course, we had to go to church with you. And I remember that little boy would run down the hall of our house. Mama, Mama, Daddy's going to church with me today. Amen. Oh, me, I heard for the first time in my life, an anointed man of God preach the word of God. And I tell you what, I got mad. I thought my wife told him everything I'd ever done. And I was mad at her, and I was mad at him. I wanted to hit him in the mouth, Sister Wanda. And when she got home, you know what she was in for? I'll tell you what, buddy, God wasn't done with me. He finished the work, buddy. I'm telling you, He didn't just convict me. He got me to Calvary. And glory to God, there was a turning point in my life. Hallelujah. I'm about like Paul. I conferred no more with flesh and blood. But I got committed, Brother Melvin. I saluted heaven. And I said, here I am. If you can use me, I'm here. And I'll tell you what, boy, I got all kind of flack. I mean, people said, you want them holy roads. I said, if it's ever true, let it be. Oh, yeah. Don't be for me of sin. I'm telling you, when you bear His name, you'll find out, boy, they'll lay to you everything.
Amen.
Let me pull back the veneer just a little bit on reality. The more you live for God, I mean, the more you get in the will of God, the more you conform to His image, get ready. I'm telling you, they hated Him. And the Bible said they hated Him without a cause. But I'm going to fill in the blanks. I'll tell you why they hated Him. Because He was right. He was real. And they were wrong. And they were wicked. And they hated Him. And they hate you. And I'll tell you what, it just goes along with it. But it's worth it, glory to God. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hey, I got a different home today, Brother Anthony. Because there was a turning point.
Amen.
Oh, me. I thank God for that turning point, Sister Sophia. Oh, what a difference Jesus makes. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible said, being confident of this, He's begun a good work in you. We'll continue to the day of Jesus. And little Katie, I'm counting. God bless little children. And I'll tell you what, He can use little children to get to do what grown adults can't do. There's something about a little child that's innocent that'll come. I'm telling you, touch the heart. Not a heart was singing. Amen. Oh, me. Oh, I saw God work in my family. Every family. Want to have someone that's had a turning point. Every family ought to have someone that's so committed to the cross. But I'll tell you what, they're not ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of whom I have believed. I'm telling you, he said, I know whom I have believed. And I'll tell you what, he said, God forbid I should glory saving the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, me. Jesus said, you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Every family. Amen. Well, the body ought to have someone that's had a turning point. You know, they took note of those disciples that they'd been with Jesus. And the reason they took note, there'd been a turning point. They saw their lives before, and they saw their lives after. And there was no mistake. There had been a turning point, an extreme makeover. There had been a divine intervention. Amen.
That's right, amen.
Every family, Sister Nita, little Nathaniel's meet someone that's had a turning point. That he'll have something to hold on to, just a little praying. But say, I know that my mama loves the Lord. I know I need to stay. I see God in her. Don't give up. I'm telling you what, this world may be groping about in darkness, but I'll tell you what, you let the light shine. You let it shine, you'll find that boy. God will manifest Himself. God will magnify Himself. I'm telling you what, I thank God the mom will be at a turning point. I thank God He brought that to my memories. Oh, me. I saw a different Benny Wade. Brother Anthony, Benny, he worked at a place in Louisville. And what they done, they took cars from car lots and they touched them up. They done the painting on them and cleaned them up and done things like that for car lots up in Louisville. He was very successful at it. Benny bought an old van, Brother Melvin. An old Chevrolet van, about old one, one of them old ones, about 1965 or 64 or something like that. Brother Hired. And he painted that thing red. And on the side of that van, there was this huge mural of a graveyard with graves opening up and saints of God coming up out of the ground. Man, he come down to our house, boy. And I looked at that and I said, Benny, what's that mean? He said, that means one day I wasn't saved then. He said, that means one day God's coming, I'm leaving out. And I'll tell you what, boy. Oh, God got the work in my uncle's life. He got the work in my family. And it was all because of a turning point. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, our families, if they need anything, they need someone that'll show them that Jesus is real. They need someone that'll show them that, I'm telling you what, God's made a difference, amen. And just like Paul had a turning point, I'm telling you, you can have a turning point, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I thank God that God, He will change you, amen. Have you had a turning point? Have you got one you can look back on? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you've not got one, you might not be saved. The Bible said in Psalm chapter 55, just listen to the Word of God. The Bible said in Psalm chapter 55, it says, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. I believe it's verse 11. I'm going to look it up real quick here. But I'll tell you what, there ought to be a time, there ought to be a place that you can look back where something had happened. And I'll tell you what, there's been a turning point, amen. You know what? I'm sorry, it's Psalms 55, verse 19. But it says, because they have no changes, there ought to be a change. And it said, because of that, it said, therefore they fear not God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And I'll tell you what, there ought to be a place you can look back to. There ought to be a place that you can say, I've had a turning point, and if not, why not? Amen. Listen. Luke chapter 22, Peter had denied the Lord three times. But in verse number 62, it said Peter went out that night He went out of that crowd of sinners, that bunch of wicked men that he's hanging around with, warming himself by the devil's fire. And the Bible said Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Amen. Now, don't hang around the wrong bunch. I'm telling you what, it'll have an effect upon you and you'll deny the Lord more than three times.
That's right.
You always put Peter down for denying the Lord three times. How many times have you denied him? Hello? I'm telling you, churches today are denying him.
Amen.
Preachers today are denying him. Some of these Bibles they got today, Sister Sophie denied him. But I'll tell you right now, he won't be denied.
Amen.
He's going to show up, Sister Peter. They're going to try to find a place to hide. The rocks are going to hide from his face. I wish he'd show up. I was praying last night in the prayer. I said, God, break the knee of this wicked nation till he can't stand in opposition against the love and mercy of God.
Amen.
Bring it down the road of me, because of famine and pestilence, because of destruction come on America, and because America return to God.
Amen.
Well, somehow we don't need to pray God bless America. Somehow we need to pray God deal with America.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, I got serious praying last night, and I knew it was of God. I said, Lord, whatever it takes, get America to sneeze, burn it. And I tell you what, buddy, the best thing ever happened in this country.
Right.
America doesn't get too big for God.
Yeah.
America needs to have a turning point.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed now, but there's been a little bit of that going on. Mm. There's been a little bit of it. I've been hearing a little glance. Glance is what you call it. Glint. Can't say the word. Glances or whatever.
Yeah.
I've been seeing young people that will not give up. They're standing for God, even though we won't lay on.
Yeah.
You know that bunch up there to occupy Wall Street? You know what they're the product of? I'm going to tell you what they're the product of. Don't discipline your children. You'll warp their mind. Count to three or count to ten. Well, let me tell you what they're doing. They're counting the rubber bullets. They're counting the canisters of tear gas. They're counting the cars they turned over. They're counting the buildings they destroyed. And the parts they defecated and all that. I'll tell you right now, God knows what He's saying.
Amen.
He said they need to be chastened. They need to be corrected. They need to be loved. They need someone to be a parent, not just to have a child and then move on, but to have a child and get involved in a little boy, little girl's life, and teach them the things of God. Amen. Well, one thing we're blessed with, and I mean, I want to say this as often as I can. One thing we're blessed with. These young people, I want you to look, we're blessed.
Amen.
God's given us opportunity. These young people, I done got on Brother Daniel, he's going to be my bus captain. He's going to go with me, he's the first one I'm going to pick up. Me and him, he said, you can count on me, Brother Eddie, we're going to go out. I don't know how many we can bring in, but I promise you this, we're going to bring them through those doors right there. We're bringing them through that door, we're going to love them, we're going to pray for them, we're going to preach to them, we're going to try to help them, we're going to try to be there for them in the hour of need. Amen. Well, thank God for the thought that we might be able to get and obtain a van and use it for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Have you had a turning point? Well, I'll tell you right now, you need to get one. You might not have as long as you think. God's been waiting. He waited in the days of Noah. He's waiting in our day. You know what He's waiting for? He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to step out.
Right.
He's waiting for you to come up there and say, I want to rededicate my life. I want to be serious about living for God. My family's at stake. My neighbor's at stake. And I want to be committed. I want to be all I can be for the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Tell you what, this altar ought to be full up here in just a minute. We're going to give an invitation. It ought to be full of people that said, I want to be committed. I want God to send me. I want God to use me. I want God to know I mean business. Brother Melvin told me one time, he said, I started tithing even before I got saved. He said, I wanted God to know I meant business.
Mm-hmm.
You show God you mean business, I'll tell you what, He'll show you glory. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. You show Him you mean business. Praise God. I'm telling you right now, there's people going to hell right now. They're wondering where the church is, or where the church, or where are we?
That's right.
Why are they there? We make up all the excuses we want to, but I'll tell you right now, buddy, we ought to be there. We ought to be seeking them out. We ought to be searching them out. And we can't save them, but I'll tell you what, we can get them to one that can. And then we'll forget little Kaylee right there. She came up here and the tears are still on the altar. And I said, honey, what you need? She said, Brother Eddie, I'm praying against sin. That's what church is all about, Brother Howard. Look at it, the tear stains are still right here. Right there, two little tear stains. She said, I'm praying to get saved. Oh, God, help us not forget our mission. And I'll tell you what, if you've had a turning point, glory to God. Don't turn back. I got to thinking about that. The Lord reminded me of that. And I got to realize the name of that place was called the Turnhole, Brother William. He went around one man, but he come back another.
Amen.
The Turnhole. I didn't realize. I got to thinking about it. Praise God, it's called the Turnhole. What a place for a turning point.
Amen.
My uncle Ben lived for God the remaining days of his life. And I'll tell you right now, boy, he made an impression upon me. And the thing that impressed me more than anything was, buddy, he had a different thing to do on Sunday. He went to church. I'll tell you what, he was a man of God. He was a family. It was the fact that he had 9 sons, 2 of them preachers, every one of them saved, love the Lord, Uncle Benny and Aunt Barbara, his wife, my aunt. They've done graduated this life, but up there in heaven, I'll tell you right now, he heard the words, well done. Praise God. What are you going to speak when you show up? Apart from me, I never knew you or entered thou into the joys of the Lord. It ought to be a turning point. It ought to be one.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the message. Thank you for how mightily you spoke this morning. Lord, even to me, you spoke even loudly this morning. And I pray, Father, Lord, today that these words will register in our heart, not go over our head, but we'll hold them dear as they are the Word of God. I pray you'll help us in this invitation. Lord, that Satan might loose his grip. That, Lord, someone might come this morning and give their all to Jesus. We'll thank you and praise you no matter what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand, please. Get Brother Melvin, Brother Richard, please. Anybody, listen, you need to come this morning. Come. I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. I'll do anything. I'd like to see a turning point. I'd like to see you set the mark way up there high. Paul said he pressed for the mark of the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. Set the mark high. Set the standard high. And I told you last Sunday that I was going to preach the next 2 Sunday nights on 3 things. One of them was offenses, the second was obstacles, and the third one was opportunity. Well, I'm going to combine tonight obstacles and opportunity. I don't know if that's even possible, but I'm going to try to preach both messages tonight at one time. Just going to join them together. We won't be able to be here next Sunday night. I want to go ahead and try to finish those three messages tonight. So I'll be preaching tonight on obstacles and opportunity. You got an opportunity right now. Come forward. Call upon Him. That's rich in mercy to all that call upon Him. You ain't got no excuse for not coming. There ain't no reason at all why you can't run down here right now. And don't let that lying devil tell you you think you do. Buddy, we're without excuse. You're to come right now. You're to say, Lord, I need one of them turning points. I'm getting tired of every day being the same routine. I'm getting tired of the devil beating me and sifting me like wheat. And I want to start living for God. I want my family to know what God means to me. If you're saved this morning, you're to come up here and say, Lord, I need a heaping helping. What the things of God are. Get you cup full this morning. Somebody to come this morning. I can't believe Molly ain't already up here. Somebody to come this morning, set an example to someone. Just come up here and say, Lord, I not only need a turning point, but I want to be able to go out and tell people and show people that God's made a difference in my life. Well, thank God what I just saw. Saw 2 men step out simultaneously. Sister Margaret coming. Listen, you're to come this morning. What a message. You need a turning point today. And the world will note it. And the world will take notice of it. I'll tell you right now, if you ain't never been saved, that's the greatest turning point there is. If you are saved, listen, your family needs to see Christ in you. They need to see it in you in such a way that it'll affect them, that it'll go to bed with them at night. They'll wake up in the morning like Jacob of old and say, surely the Lord was in this place. I knew it not. What about it today? Are you serious about your family? You love your family? Well, if you do, you're to come up here and say, Lord, I need one of them turning points. I need from this day on that my family sees me differently than they've seen me before. I need from this morning on to show my family how serious I am about loving God and living for Him. Praise God for this invitation. Listen, if you're here this morning, you're lost. Why don't you just come here and get somebody by the hand and say, I need one of them turning points. Won't you come this morning, the waters of trouble, God's here in a mighty way. I'll tell you right now, buddy, God's longing for you to come.
Yes.
Go ahead, Brother Melvin.
Jesus, let's say 2:10.
Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Yes.
There's a precious fountain, free to all the healing stream. Flows from Calvary's mountain.
Come on! Come on this morning, this December the 4th. Sunday morning, why don't you come this morning and have a turning point? You ain't got nothing to lose. Get someone by the hands, say, go with me. I want one of them. I want my family to know that Jesus lives within me. I want them to know that I love Him and I'll have a turning point because of Him. Why don't you do that?
Love's a mercy
found me.
There the bright and morning star.
He'll do it.
His dreams around.
Listen, I'm just pleading. But won't you come this morning? Won't you just step out, hail up the devil? Won't you just give him a black eye and say, look, I'm coming this morning. I heard the message. It pertained to me. And I, more than anyone, need a turning point in my life. And I'm coming right now. The Lord's waiting. He will receive you. He denies none. He turns no one away. He's waiting for you to come. Won't you just come this morning? Won't you just come? Almost everyone's on the altar. Won't you just come this morning? Be a good time to come and say, I need the Lord in my life. I need one of them turning points. My family needs it. I'm telling you, won't you just come this morning? Oh, baby. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's a good time to come. This is one of them times, it's one of them eternal moments. I'll tell you what, Lord laid this message on my heart. I already knew what it was going to be like, but preaching it, it was even greater than my expectation. Oh, me. My pastor looked down at that little boy and God said, I got a million little boys like that. Need somebody to preach the Word of God to them. Turning point. How is it with you today? Have you had one of them turning points? Oh, bless my brother here this morning. Bless my sister here this morning. He's on the altar, Lord. I thank God so much for their faithfulness, Lord. Lord, to come and get a heap of helping of eternal things. I pray you bless them, Lord. Bless them as only you can. Lord, Father, we just pray this morning. Bless these brothers, Lord. Bless their families. Lord, magnify yourself in them, Lord. Bless Brother Lowen, Lord, his family, Father. We thank you, Lord, dear God, for visiting this place, for visiting from on high. Lord, bless, I pray, the sisters and bless the brothers. And let us, Lord, see, Lord, the angel of the prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the things of God are good. The Bible said they're not to be refused, they're to be received. Have you received the Lord? Have you had a turning point? If not, why not? Why not today? Why not just come and say, I've waited long enough. I want to find out what this is all about. Oh, won't you come? I'm sweating like I don't know what, but I ain't complaining. I'm telling you, I'm up here sweating and waiting. What are you waiting on? Won't you come, amen? I'll tell you what, that message this morning, I saw a difference in my uncle, Brother Anthony. I saw a difference in him immediately. There can be a difference in you if you'll just come. I don't know what you're afraid of. I don't know what you're waiting on, but I'll tell you what, now the Lord is waiting, and I'm waiting. Won't you come? Lord, why not? Those songs says, why not tonight? I'll tell you what, why not today? Why not just come? I remember Brother Daniel, the day he got saved. I looked back there and I saw him step out, go back in. Step out, go back in. Step out, go back in. The service over with, Brother Daniel, he's still back there in that pew. I went back to the back door and everybody went out of church and I come in. Brother Daniel's still back there by that pew. And I walked up, Brother Daniel. He says, the two ladies get saved. I said, no, sir. Man, he'll come out of that back pew, head right up at this altar. And I'll tell you what, Brother, he got to take care of that day right there, amen. My bus captain right here.
Amen.
But I tell you what, buddy, I watched him. He stepped out. He stepped back. He stepped out. I watched him. I thought he should have gonna come here in a minute. He stepped out. He stepped back. But oh me. Brother, it's never too late to get saved. Unless you die in your sins. If you die in your sins, no hope. Die in your sins, no help. Dying your sins, no mercy. Dying your sins, you sealed your fate. You're not going to heaven. You're going to a place called hell that God did not want you to go, did not prepare for you. They're standing between you and that place saying, please don't go there. I died for you. I love you. Come, let me kiss you. Won't you just break out? Come, run down here. Won't you just come? Oh, me, God's lingering this morning. Won't you come this morning? Father, we've done everything we know to do. Lord, I still feel you, Lord, reaching. And I pray, dear Lord, someone, Lord, dear God, this morning, Lord, would step out and say, I'm coming. Lord, I want to have a turning point in my life. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. Lord, help us this morning. Help us, Father, during this invitation song to see the salvation of God, to see the joy that was set before you that you was willing to endure the cross and despise the shame. Help, Lord. Oh, won't you come? Oh, that day we had that baptism dinner that day. What a blessing event that was. I believe God's happy when He sees things like that. And I believe He's sad when He sees people come and go to my house of the Lord and they don't get saved. Won't you come this morning? He deserves it. He desires it. But only you can deliver it. You got to bring your soul to Jesus. He'll take it from there.